This morning we're looking at the third passage of Scripture that was selected. And I took this title, The Valley Where God Is. It's actually the title of a little talk that Sister Judd gave many years ago. And she began that little article, that little talk, with this statement. She said, "The Lord woke me up last night, and he said to me, there's a valley where God is." And that's interesting. Now, what do you think she was speaking of? A valley where God is. And the thought was that we need to come down into that valley. The thought was about being humble, humbling ourselves before our God, coming down and walking with him in that valley, in that lowly place. I'd like to start in 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. Maybe one of the young men would read this for us.
"Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you."
"Likewise, ye younger," NIV, young men, "in the same way be submissive to those who are older." And we like that, right? I told Brother Tom Kineth that I had to listen to him because he was older than me. I have to submit to him. He's my elder. And that's right. We ought to submit to those who God places in our lives who are maybe older than us or have been on the way longer than we have in our natural relationships, to our parents. We ought to be submissive to them. In the church, we ought to be submissive to our Sunday school teachers and our youth leaders and our pastors. But then he continues and he says this, "All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." King James, "All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." So it seems in our relationships, in the body of Christ, there ought to be this spirit of humility. We ought to be humble. Now, maybe the way to look at humility from one aspect is to consider what's the opposite of being humble. What do you think? What's the opposite of being humble? Cocky? Proud? Do we know anyone like that? Have you ever come across people who know everything? Yes? I know everything. Did you know that? No. And sometimes the way we treat one another, we're the best. We're better than you. My children, well, my son in particular, he's very competitive. And he likes to be the best. I think he got that from his father. But I remember as a camper, even at home, I never liked to lose. Anyone like to lose here? No, we don't like to lose. And being the youngest in the family, that's really tough, you know, because they're all usually older and better than you in a lot of things. And so, but you know, the Lord worked in my heart, and he has to work in our hearts and change our hearts and deliver us from our pride. And it seems that that's something that God deals with us throughout life. Humble yourself. It says here, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Are we willing to be humbled under God's mighty hand? Well, I think part of that is being willing to submit to one another. to be willing. Oh, I'll submit to God. Well, are you willing to submit to those that God has placed in your lives? The verse that's quoted here from the Old Testament, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Not only does he not, you might say, well, God will doesn't really pay attention to the proud, or God doesn't, he doesn't really care about them. No, it says he actually opposes the proud. Opposes the proud. Why? Because that proud spirit says, I don't need God. I'm okay the way I am. I can do this by myself. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to change me. I need you to help me today. And an attitude like that, humility before God, allows God to work on our behalf. Gives grace to the humble. In Philippians, if you want to turn there with me, seems that in the church at Philippi, there were some that were maybe in discord or just weren't getting along too well. We have an indication of that, I believe, in the last chapter where he says, I plead with Odia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. It seems there was maybe a little friction taking place. Have you ever come across that in relationships with people, maybe at the job, or maybe even at school among your friends, or even in the church? There are times when there is this friction, and people don't see eye to eye, and people disagree and or can't agree, decide not to agree about something. And Paul, he pleads with them. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. He's almost pleading. Look what Christ has done for you. You have received his comfort. You have received his consolation. You have received his love. Now get along. Work together. Get on the same page, as it were, because God has desired to command his blessing upon those who dwell together in unity, in oneness of spirit. And so he realized the importance of this. And then he goes on to say this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Now, that's not natural. It's not natural for us. I mean, I'm okay with maybe you being equal with me, but you're not better than me, right? I'm okay with being, your peer, as it were, but to consider the other person better than myself. To think more highly of that person than I think of myself. That takes the grace of God and the work of his Spirit in us. Each of you, I like this also, verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. How do we know that we're often filled with pride? Well, we think only about ourselves. And our interests are first. Our interests are more important. Our opinions are more important than anyone else's. And we want our agenda to be the one that's put into play. That our program has to be the one that's chosen, as it were. Our suggestions have to be the thing that's done. Well, maybe someone else has a better idea. Maybe someone else should be the one in charge. Are we willing for that? And then again, he brings us back to where it seems often we end up. Who is our example in these things? Who is the example? Who is the example? Fellas, who is the example? Christ, right? Jesus. We're all going to take a rest period today, all right? No beach, rest period. All right, let's just finish this out. I don't want to keep you too long here. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. What did Jesus do for us? What did Jesus do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. This is the attitude. This is the mind that needs to be in you. He laid down his life for us. One of the translations says he emptied himself. Something we don't fully understand. How could God become man? How could God become one of us? The incarnation is a miracle that we truly can't fathom. But God comes down, leaves the glory of heaven, leaves that place of authority at his Father's right hand. He comes down and becomes one of us. And he didn't come as a king. He didn't come in great power and say, okay, now everyone's going to listen to me. I'm the Son of God. No, he walked this life in humility, in lowliness. He walked among the poorest. He walked among those that were needy. And he taught them, and he fed them, and he loved them. He healed them. He had compassion on them. And it led him to the cross. And he died in our place. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. Let this mind be in you that it was also in Christ Jesus. And so the thing that it speaks to me is this great love that he had for us. And because he loved us, he was willing to humble himself. It goes on to say, because of that, because he was obedient unto death, even death on the cross, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, Jesus himself taught us, he that exalts himself will be what? Abased. But he that humbles himself will be exalted. You want to be great in God's kingdom, you learn to be a servant, a servant, a servant. Remembering our leaders, I think of how they were so willing to serve us, to serve us. I think of my parents and how their life was given to serve others. And so these are the examples that we have, Jesus Christ being the one that we look to, the one who humbled himself. But we've seen this lived out in others. And so we know that we too can be humble servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a missionary friend in Guatemala. single lady who went there maybe 25, 30 years ago. God placed it upon her hearts to minister in the city dump in Guatemala City. And it's something that's beyond our comprehension, I think, here in the States, but there are whole families that live, at that time they lived in the dump, and they made their living, their food, everything that they scavenged from the dump. Children, as well as adults. And she felt God calling her to help these people. And so she bought a property in downtown Guatemala City and began a school for them, the children, and began to feed them. And then God opened the way for her to have a much larger property just north of the city. And Brother Tom has been there maybe three times, brother? Four times. We had gone together with a team and helped them build that school. But the reason I say this is because she sends a newsletter to us, and she signs it this way: a humble servant of Jesus Christ, Kari. A humble servant of Jesus Christ. She realizes that's the place of greatness. Do you want to be great in God's kingdom? Humble yourself. Be a servant of all. So contrary to our popular culture, our society has said, well, we need to take care of number one. And who number one is? Well, that's me, of course. And we look to our own interests. We look to ourselves. And yet Jesus did not look for his own interests. He laid down his life so that you could be blessed, so that you could be saved, redeemed. The bottom of the page here in your booklet, there's this little reverse from one of the songs that is in our camp book. Oh, to be but emptier, lowlier, mean, unnoticed, and unknown. Now, mean does not mean mean, like we use it, right? But to God a vessel holier, filled with Christ and Christ alone. Naught of earth to cloud the glory. And here it is, naught of self the light to dim. Telling forth his wondrous story, emptied to be filled with him. And if we would learn to come down, humble ourselves, we would find that the Lord would come and fill us more greatly with himself. You know, John the Baptist had it right when he said, I must decrease and he must increase. People don't need more of you. They don't need more of me. People need more of Jesus in us. And as we humble ourselves, as we allow him to empty us of ourselves, then God can come and fill us with himself, and that people would see Jesus in us. I always wondered about the way this verse was, the emptier, the lowlier. It's difficult to sing. I would like to sing it. Oh, to be but empty, lowly. But I think the idea is that there's always more for us. There's progress that can be made. We never arrive. We always can be emptier, and we always can be lowlier, and we can be holier. More holy, more lowly, more empty, so that he can fill us. So that nothing, not of ourselves, and our pride, and our sinful nature would hide the glory of Christ shining forth from us. A truly humble person, a true person that's clothed with humility, Christ will be seen in that person. I think our brother Tom mentioned that was the testimony his father had. That he reminded them of Jesus. I wonder if people would meet us, they would say, well, that must be what Jesus is like. May God help us to live in such a way that people would see Christ in us. So each one of us, can we learn at Pilgrim Camp to submit to one another? I think that's a good lesson to learn at camp. I think so. Lord Jesus, help me to submit myself to those that you have placed in my life at this time. Help me, Lord, to take the lowly place, the place of the servant, the place that you took when you came to this earth. There's a song in our books I'd like to sing in closing. It's number 24 in the white book, number 24. Stand as we sing. If thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn till the evening, there is a rule that each day to have Brother Tom and Sister Kim with us, and they're leaving us today. I don't know how soon, but soon, right? Okay. We just want to believe that God will go with you and His presence will cheer you, surround you. But would you pray with us, Brother Tom, before we go?
Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you that you are faithful to your word. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You said that you would exalt us in due time. And we trust, Lord Jesus, the plans that you're unfolding. We trust your timing in our life.
Yes, Lord.
You do all things well. And Father, our hearts need to stay right with you. We need to stay humble, Lord Jesus. And we choose that path, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Father. You've called us to a narrow path because we're not called to take all of the things of the world and the pride, Lord, that so quickly comes to us, God. We want to keep our focus upon you and walk worthy, Lord Jesus, in your sight. Be with us throughout this day. Make us a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just remind the staff that we meet today at 4:15 for prayer. And if you see me at the beach at 4 o'clock, please tell me. Brother Phil, God bless you today.